All right, everyone. Hello and welcome to Toonami Therapy on May 9th of 2020. Next week, we'll be going back to our more normal schedule, so hopefully we'll be able to remember the Toonami stuff better. yes. So we decided to cover we were doing Isekai Quartet, but then thought, you know, why not watch these other shows that they were doing the crossover? Too. So, yeah, we've got the first episodes of those to discuss also.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to, you know, normally we order those by the order we kind of started watching them, but since we picked them all up on the same week, what do you want to, do? I was thinking we might as well, since we were gonna do Isekai Quartet, then, like, kind of throwing the other ones, we should, at least for this week, do Isekai Quartet, then those other shows.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, but first we start with the Toonami stuff. We've got, let's see, episode 85 of My Hero Academia. So, Deku goes up against Gentle Criminal, and manages to, win, and Gentle Criminal apparently gets arrested or something, and then everything, and, yeah, that was basically the episode.
And this episode made me feel so bad for Gentle Criminal and his accomplice that by the end of the episode, I felt like the heroes were the bad guys and he was the good guy. That's the way they edited it. And I felt like I was cheering for him. I was like, this Deku is being so cruel. That's the way they made it out. And it was just really weird.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, Gentle Criminal's flashback. Well, okay, La Brava's was kind of mad to me. I did like Gentle Criminal's one, though, because... So I've been kind of thinking, because so many times you're just like, ugh, when a series goes into a flashback. And I'm thinking, okay, so yeah. When are flashbacks good or bad? And... So to me, the thing about flashbacks that are important is, two things. One, is this something that you can just explain in a line or two of dialogue and have the same effect? If that's the case, then just have a character say it. Because,
mm-hmm.
See, people say, I know the phrase, show, don't tell. But when the difference is, tell me in two sentences or show me in 5 minutes, I'll usually take the more expedient way.
Yeah.
The other important, when I look at La Brava's, I'm like, you could have just said this. But with criminals, it's something that is harder to just say. You need to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other important thing on flashbacks is don't make them too longer than you need to actually get across the point.
Yeah.
So that was actually a decent flash back. So let's see. Yeah, most of this fight was really just stored. The flashbacks aside was mostly an action piece.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was.
And it was a pretty decent one, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not too much else to say there, but we've got our final season-ending episode of Demon Slayer. We are introduced to a whole bunch of new characters. Most of them are killed off like a few seconds after they're introduced, if I remember correctly. Then the rest of it is kind of wrap up for, unfortunately, the arc we didn't see. And then everyone just goes off on a train, to which will be continued in a movie, apparently.
This was a very confusing episode because it was like a splash of cold water on your face. It was like, whoa, who are all these people? And then it's even worse. If you haven't been watching it in the first place, because now it's like, well, am I supposed to know who this is, or am I not supposed to know who this is? And that's the way I felt when watching this.
Yeah, that is like the annoying thing when you're looking around, like, am I supposed to know this if you haven't been watching? That's why when we when we're watching My Hero Academia, I try to tell you, okay, we are not supposed to know who this person is. Yes. So, unfortunately, we can't really say that much about Demon Slayer, given that we watched, well, let's see. I think we watched the first three episodes, and then we watched the last, maybe four episodes, so...
About that much. And a couple episodes I watched in between, and during those episodes, like, everyone was obsessed with his little sister.
Yeah, so unfortunately, I don't have really anything else to say about that. I don't know. Since the manga's ending, maybe I'll actually check that out and read it, or maybe not. There's a lot of manga that I'm still following, and a few that I am trying to catch up on. So, whew. All right. So then we'll be moving on to Paranoia Agent Episode 2. So, in another kind of weird episode. So you so basically there's this kid in middle school, I think, or is it, yeah, I think it's middle school, and he's this popular guy, but because he but everyone then thinks he might be that little slugger guy because he, you know, goes around on skateboards and has a hat also or something. So there's that. And a bunch of rumors are going about him, which, and even worse, the person he's running against for, like, the class president or whatever it was gets attacked by Lil Slugger while he was there. So he's, like, convinced everyone will, suspect him. And then he goes completely insane. And when I say complete, I mean, like, actually insane.
Yeah.
And then apparently the actual Lil Slugger shows up and hits him. It was kind of unclear.
Yeah. This show is interesting.
It's a hard show to really describe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's weird, but I can't say that I disliked it or anything. I am interested in the mystery.
Yeah, it's just really confusing, that's all.
Yeah, I get the feeling maybe it's supposed to be, and that this will be one of those things where, you know, you look back later on if you finish and you're like, oh yeah, this was, you know, about this, that was this, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder if the show's kind of going to be sort of like an overall plot is trying to figure out the Lil Slugger thing, but then each episode is going to be about a different person's, like, story, and then they just get thwacked by him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, let's see, we've got, so we got Black Clover episode 115. This was a confusing one. Well, the thing is, because I didn't remember that much of this thing from the manga, so I was actually looked back and refamiliarized myself with stuff, and suddenly realized, oh wait, this character I thought was this one character was actually this other character. Whoops. It's real. Well, honestly, to be fair, it's a weird thing because there's this one character who, like, claimed he was liched, but then it turns out no, he wasn't the real one. But they don't reveal that fact until, I don't know, something like 80 episodes into the series, and I forgot about that. So I'm like, oh yeah, that's that guy. The important thing is that basically this we find out that this basic whole thing was manufactured by this bad guy named, I can't remember his, Zagrid, that's it. A bunch of times they just refer to him as, like, a devil or whatever, to try to turn the elves and humans against each other to be bad stuff. And, honestly, this episode just establishes that he's a new villain, because he monologues a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. What episode number are we on this again?
This is 115.
Wow. Man, that's a lot of episodes. is like the manga still ongoing?
The manga is still going on, yes.
So this is going to be another One Piece.
I don't know if it'll be that long. Because what series actually have gone on longer? What like shonen series have gone on longer than One Piece? I think Detective Conan has been around longer. I know Koichi Kame was around because that thing went on for like 40 years, but that was a comedy gag series.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it could go on for a while, or it might not. I don't know. It's a long running series, but still, like Naruto ended at quote unquote only episode chapter like 700.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it 600? I don't know. All I know is that One Piece is almost up to 1,000. Yeah, so basically, to try to explain what's going on, some of this stuff I think is actually fully revealed later, but I just want to mention it so you can understand it. So the elves were all killed by humans, but they got resurrected because their souls were bound or something. And so they want to actually take revenge and stuff, which is why and possess people, which is why the characters are, you know, kind of fighting them. But then it's revealed here that this new bad guy was the one who actually manipulated the whole thing, getting the humans to attack the elves and getting the elves to come back and attack the humans. And he's doing it for, I can't remember, but it somehow achieves his aims. That's basically what this was revealing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so so many shows. It seems so, but we don't seem to have that much to say.
Yeah.
But we got JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Golden Wind, episode 24. So they go into... So they're leaving and they're getting into a plane because getting into a plane doesn't like always end in something bad in JoJo. Like they made
that like a meme or something that I'm not aware of?
Well, I know they made the characters made references to how whenever Joseph got into an airplane, something terrible would happen and they'd almost crash. They did that, and Joseph isn't around this time, but they're getting into an airplane and something bad is still happening.
Yeah.
So a guy shows up to attack, but they kill him, and they're like, well, that was easy. Then getting into the plane and leave, but then the guy, even though he's dead, his stand has lived on and has managed to get into the plane, and they managed to figure out that it's drawn to movement. So they apparently managed to get rid of it, but only at the cost of people getting super injured. Giorno apparently losing his arms so he can't, you know, bring people back because he needs them to do that, I think? I'm not sure. Apparently. But then it turned out that he managed to do something so he'll regenerate, but then the monster thing is going to try to attack that. And, you know, then Trish is like, oh, I have to stop it from doing that, but I don't want to get killed myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so the end time for yet another funny rename. We went from Notorious B... Wait, is it pronounced Big or B-I-G?
Not sure.
Well, whichever way that that's pronounced, it got switched to Notorious Chase.
Which, like, makes no sense at all.
Well, actually, it does. It makes more sense this time than the original because that's what it does. It chases people. It chases movement. So it is so it makes sense. My question is, what in the world Notorious B.I.G. has to do with it? Because normally you can sort of see some sort of connection between them. Like, Aerosmith. Oh, it's an airplane. That's a cute pun. Talking head. Oh, it can control what someone's saying. That makes some sense. Beach Boy. It's a sort of fishing thing, okay? Or the Grateful Dead. Oh, it turns people into zombies. You know, that kind of stuff. Here, I just don't see the connection.
Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, I thought this was a pretty enjoyable episode.
I did, too. I liked the whole thing of trying to figure out how the stand was still working, even though they killed the guy. And then they had that one joke in there, which was like ripping off snakes on a plane. And that was pretty funny.
Yeah, did you ever see that, like, video someone uploaded of the snakes on a plane, the TV edit?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, you did? Yeah, where he's going, I've had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
Yeah. And then he's like, I'm going to open up the freaking window. And it was like, it's like Samuel L. Jackson would never say the word freaking.
Well, maybe if he was Nick Fury from the Avengers, because I'm pretty sure you can't get away with that kind of language on that. So yeah, it was an enjoyable thing. Although, of course, when they it's of course a time where they managed to easily kill the guy and do it immediately. That it's like, oh, that's what activated the stand.
Mm-hmm.
There was. There's this one thing later on in Bleach where, you know, after going through all these, like, enemies that, you know, have these crazy abilities and stuff, so they fight this one guy, and they manage to take him out before he apparently, like, activates the ability. They're like, alright, let's be sure, and they slash him up more and stuff. Mm-hmm. Except then it turns out he's, of course, the guy whose power is, oh, hey, when you deal all this damage to me, I actually heal all of it, and it makes me I'm super strong, so you actually made me stronger doing that. But I guess we'll discuss that whenever we get to that in Bleach. I still always like the part where, well, it's explained that there's this one person whose power is to, I don't know, like, ask people questions and make them question, like, everything. You know, and become, like, paranoid and stuff. But then they go up against Kenpachi, who at the time had heard something really loud. It was basically deaf, so it doesn't do anything to him. So then he's, like, explaining, just said, I went up against this person who I think was trying to explain their power or something, but I got bored and just killed them. It was something like that. It's been a little while. Okay. So Naruto Shippuden episode 294... I can't even remember this episode again.
I can't remember either. It was so forgettable.
We've got the problem where it's 1, late, 2, a show that we're not that interested in, 3, filler.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the triple crown of that. So I think we just made a bunch of jokes about what would have been funnier than it, or what would have been more entertaining, and we just kind of didn't pay much attention to the show itself. So, yeah, Naruto happened, and it'll happen again.
It will continue to happen. All right, non-Toonami stuff. We got ReZero, 2 episodes, 22 and 23. So, they go and they're going to take on the witch's cult. And they're apparently able to do so actually without that much trouble. Crazy cultist leader guy gets killed. So that was nice, because he's annoying. But then some people still get killed, but they manage to kill other crazy cultist leader guy. Or maybe it was a girl, I can't remember. So then they're trying to evacuate everyone to get all the cultists, you know, so that they can fight the cultists and stuff. But then the cultists infiltrate that and just and kill a bunch of people. But they manage to beat them all. It seems like, you know, even though a lot of people have gotten killed, the cultists are finally done with. But then the characters realize something horrifying. There's still two episodes in this season. So it turns out that crazy cultist leader guy possessed Subaru, and then he's like, oh yeah, I can just reload. Hey guys, kill me. So then they're like, okay. And then he's apparent. Okay, I will admit that I was curious, so I watched the first maybe 10 seconds of the next episode. So yeah, he resets, and it's after the white whale fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, so that bad guy who you don't like, his name got changed a bit whenever they put out the English dub version. Like, it was like originally like Betelgeuse, and now it's like Petelgeuse, which I don't know why they changed that. But, yeah, it seemed way too easy. And then of course the thing happens at the end. So.
Well, I knew there was going to be something happen. Cause I made the joke, but really there's two episodes left. That's a bit too long for an epilogue even.
But, yeah, it's just funny that I hardly remember anything that happened after the white whale fight. Like, these last four episodes are so forgettable. I don't even remember what happens in the last two episodes. That's how forgettable they are. And, of course, I did, like, marathon the whole thing, and then I was caught up by the time the final two episodes aired, so I saw them at the same time as everybody else. But anyway, yeah, these episodes weren't that interesting to me.
They were okay. Well, the fact that it resets was what kind of made it less interesting. So, like, oh, I guess this stuff didn't matter outside of just being a chance for a redo for Subaru.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I according to the ReZero Wiki, Petal, his name is spelled with a P. I'm looking at the Japanese I'm writing for the name. That's a P sound it starts with.
Yeah, everyone just called him Betelgeuse back whenever the show came out. So that's what he was called back then. And now
maybe people misheard it or something, because, like I said, I'm looking at the way it's written in Japanese. Well, assuming this is the correct Japanese way, but which I assume it is, and this symbol there is with the P sound. Peterugyusu.
Right. But the version that was what came up in the subtitles on screen, yeah, had a B in it. Huh. So,
was this fan sub, or was this actually Crunchyroll?
It was the official one. Yeah. It doesn't matter what his, there's a lot of people's names who change that. It, like, for example, Soifon from Bleach, it's not even remotely pronounced like that in her Japanese name, but everyone just called her Soifon, and that name caught on, whereas it's like absolutely like Sweeping or something. So yeah, that it's common for people's names to change between, you know, the Japanese and the English.
Looking at it, her name is written. I was just double checking on that thing. Here's written here in the game. I think it's written in Japanese as Soifon, but it's also it's weird the way it's written. There's a kanji thing for it that's sweep that's like pronounced the way you said it, but then when it's actually written out in the Japanese katakana, that's like their alphabet, it says Soifon. So I don't know exactly how that goes. I guess it might be one of those things where it was trying to make a sound, but you can't do that thing in Japanese, so you wrote it that way. Like a bunch of the weird, a lot of the ones where they try to take Japanese, like non-Japanese terms, and then write them in Japanese, end them sounding like weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, huh. I don't know. I'm curious to look back at the Crunchyroll subtitles and see what those wrote there. Or yeah, maybe they've already...
everyone called him Beetlejuice. So
well, I'm just like wondering if I want to see what they wrote. Of course, it's possible they changed it at some point.
Yeah,
so.
They could have. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. I thought these episodes were okay, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got Shangri-La episode 14. Okay, this was a confusing episode because so much of this stuff is apparently just an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
So they're fighting and the fighting keeps like changing the way stuff looks, so it's kind of confusing that way.
Mm-hmm.
We get some backstory about the whole place that it. I can't remember if it was stated before that it was originally Tokyo, but it got overgrown. But then they unovergrew it with the way the things look differently,
mm-hmm.
or something like that.
Yeah.
The big thing is that Kuniko finds out that her grandmother was the first CEO of Atlas.
Yeah. So, I don't know what to say, but there's all this secret stuff that's going on, and I don't want to spoil anything, so, but I will say that, I like the fact that some of this stuff is starting to come together. It still takes a little bit longer for the secrets to be revealed, but that was one of the first things about it. And it's like, why is he so important to the bad guy, Ryoko, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, the other thing, although it is weird because, like, so when her grandmother, you know, just tells her, like, oh, she gives her, like, cryptic advice about what she might find there. I'm just thinking, why not just tell her directly? just tell her so that you don't, rather than this sort of, thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I actually really enjoyed the episode, but of course I do know what, you know, I've seen the whole thing, so that might affect your enjoyment of it, so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still kind of waiting for stuff to kick in. It just feels like there's been a bunch of action these most two recent episodes, but I just don't feel like I have real investment in it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then we got Excel World episode 2. So we find out that the whole thing is actually that he got transported to some sort of weird virtual reality fighting game thing, which is what the Excel World is. So we get a bunch of exposition on that. The important thing is you fight other people. You get the were they Excel points or burst points? Something, one of those two, and you can use it for cool stuff, but if you lose, you lose them, and if you lose all of them, then you're kicked out of it permanently. So he ends up fighting up against a guy who uses very adult language for a show that's labeled as being TV-14. Like, we're there's at least three times he drops the F word, just straight out. And I'm looking and saying, TV-14? Jojo doesn't use language this harsh, and that's rated TV mature, although admittedly it's got the violence too. The really weird thing is that they have these, and but the show censors out when the guy is flipping him off. Did you see that?
No.
Oh. And oh, I'm sorry, move back one thing. I just want something I forgot to mention with Shangri-La. Did the old music it played at the very beginning of the episode remind you of that underground music from Super Mario World?
Yeah, it did.
Okay. Oh, sorry. So back to Excel World. So, so there we got that, and he manages to win, and it's all good and stuff, and yeah, that was basically the oh yeah, but I was saying it's funny that they have that stuff, but then the actual middle finger is blurred out.
Well, I what I liked about this episode was the whole thing about how once they exited the Excel world and then were back in the real world, she says that
Hello? Okay, had a bit of a technical difficulty there, but we're back. So continue what you were saying.
Yeah, it was funny because she said that he rejected her. And, like, she kept saying that, like, that he rejected her and he was rejecting her. And then in front of all those people, she's like, oh, yeah, I asked him out on a date and he rejected me. And it was really funny, except for the fact that it was so cruel. I mean, I was like, that's so cruel to him. I mean, what did he do to deserve that? But I again really liked the episode. I still don't quite understand, like, why they have to, like, it's like, okay, yeah, this world isn't as bad as its old world, but, like, what really is the goal of getting all these points, you know?
I think it was because you had to, am I coming out of your speakers, or I'm hearing a kind of weird echo.
Okay. What about now?
Let's see. Yeah, it sounds fine.
Yeah. I just have the headphones in the wrong place. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Right. They mentioned how you use it up. Does that, like, mean when you use it in real life for things, you lose the points? Or it was a little unclear, but we got the basic stuff at least, so that's the important part.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very interested in it. I just don't really understand, like, what the point of this other world is. You know what I mean?
You mean, like, why it was built?
Yeah, or like, okay, it's another world, but it's like, why is he even going there? Like, what is he going to get out of it? You know?
Superpowers. Yeah, it was I wasn't huge on when I was watching it, but I think part of that was because I wasn't necessarily in the best frame of mind to be watching it. But it was decent. I can see mm-hmm. how it could get interesting. It at least didn't fall off quite as fast as, well, let me think. What did happen in Sword Art Online's second episode? That one was the one where they fight the boss, and then Kirito, for some reason, makes up this whole thing about him being a beater. And then Asuna is introduced, but we don't really know much of anything about her, and she doesn't end up mattering for several episodes later.
Yeah.
So it was, it didn't leave me with any of those, like, things like, well, that was weird. Like not in the same way, in the negative way of Sword Art Online did. So, yeah, that's a benefit. Okay, so then we get on to our new stuff. So we've got Isekai Quartet episodes 1 and 2. We're covering 2 episodes a week because they're all quarter of an hour episode. So everyone from these different series all gets transported to this alternate world and get told they'll have to go to school together. A bunch of it is just kind of introductions. It's sort of weird because it very clearly and nicely explains, okay, this is the backstory for Tanya. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But then you're it does not explain at all what the character from Overlord is, because you watch this, if you don't know the fact, oh, he was a gamer and his game world became real or whatever, you'd be like, why is he thinking in a different voice than he's speaking?
Yeah, actually, I watched the Quartet show first, so I was completely clueless to all of that, and that's part of the reason why I decided I was going to watch the actual episodes, because I was like, this doesn't make any sense, you know?
Yeah, it's, well, I knew about that, but that I didn't watch it, I just read some stuff on it, which was why I was like trying to tell you that, but I think I did a bad job explaining it. But yeah, I mean, you just need a brief thing. You just need, like, maybe it's explained later. But it's just weird because you have one character. It's like, okay, this. All this makes, all the important stuff is stated. For this, it's just like, he thinks differently than he talks. Why? I will find one amusing thing I saw someone mention, and that's the part where Aqua attacks them because she's like convinced they're undead, and that's like the main character from Overlord is just like, oh, that's no problem, it's just a low level spell, and then it just actually really hurts him and the others. And someone's pointing out, so that shows that Konosuba's power level is way higher than Overlord's. Yeah, because it's just a sort of comedy show, there's not really that much to discuss, especially because it was all, you know, the first episode, like, it was just the intro.
Yeah.
I will, notice, I did, because I was trying to look up some stuff on the theme song, which is pretty good, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, I have, like, 4 different comments to make on the theme song. First, thank you, Funimation, for actually putting a translation, for it, so you know what's being said. So, I just realized how so many anime, they don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
They just have it. And it's especially important here, because, you know, the characters are actually speaking and such. Mm-hmm. But there were actually, I noticed, a few lyrics that, in the translation, were shifted. And I don't mean, like, in the case where it's like, okay, this means about the same thing, it's just a better way to say it. Well, one part that annoyed me is when they're all talking and Subaru like says, I'm Subaru, the translation says is, I'm Subaru Natsuki and I'm broke beyond compare. The problem is the original line, I looked it up, is he says, I'm like chained to immortality and completely broken. And I'm just like, why did you cut out that part? That's kind of important. Like, I'm immortal and also broke. And the reason I bring this up is because of the fact that if all he says is, I'm broke beyond compare, then Kazuma's saying, wait, why don't they sound as cool as these guys? That joke doesn't make as much sense without him mentioning the immortality thing.
Yeah.
Now, the other one I wanted to mention, and this is such a minor thing to focus on, but I want to just mention, I noticed it's interesting. So you presumably notice there's that part in the lyrics where they're all like actually putting in references to the title of the shows. Like, you know, it says something like God's blessing on this wonderful invitation. It doesn't matter if you're good or evil. Mm-hmm. Those were actually slightly changed because the names of those shows are slightly different in English. I actually discovered Konosuba's, the original thing literally just means a blessing on this wonderful world. I don't know, the English one for some reason rendered it as God's blessing on this wonderful world. Mm-hmm. And the Saga of Tanya the Evil original title was The Military Chronicles of a Little Girl. Now, I think that I'm glad they changed it because that's a much worse name. But it's why they changed it from, like, it says something like, it doesn't matter if you're, like, old or a young girl, to it doesn't matter if you're good or evil, because that conveys the title reference better.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of ruminations about something that's really minor. Although there actually is a really nice English cover someone made of the theme song on YouTube, if you look for it.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a lot of English covers of anime theme songs I discovered. So that's all my comments on Isekai Quartet, which were mostly about the theme song. What can I say? It's a fun theme song. Okay. So we go from that bit... I mean, other than that, there's not much to say other than maybe your favorite jokes. I did like the part where I think Kazuma looks at, like, the characters from Tanya and just thinks, are they from a war world? And then Aiz looks at them and thinks, are they from a war world? I don't know why that made me laugh so much, but it did.
Yeah, my favorite was just darkness.
Oh, no, yeah.
Being darkness.
No. That reminds me of the best part. Is when Kazuma's introducing everyone. And he cuts off Aqua and just says, I'm Kazuma. That's Aqua. She's Megu. And he points to darkness and says, ignore that one. That was good. Okay. It's Isekai Quartet. Maybe we'll have more to discuss than the theme song in future things when... I mean, I know it's going to be a pure comedy, but there might be a little more of a plot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then we get to our new stuff. So, one sec here. Okay, so we got The Saga of Tanya the Evil, Episode 1. So this episode can be described pretty succinctly in a slight misquotation of Zero Wing's infamous intro. In AD 1923, war was beginning. There you go. That's the episode's plot. Because it's basically just war.
Yeah, that's all it was. And I was like, you explained all this stuff about being X and all this stuff. And I'm like...
It's not mentioned until the second episode.
Yeah.
Okay, remember how at the start of Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, there's like that big, you know, battle and stuff, and it doesn't actually have anything to do with anything, and the actual plot starts the next one? I think that's what this was. The point is to give the big, you know, opening, action thing to try to get people in, and then go, okay, let's back up and explain how this happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was kind of boring, so it didn't really manage that.
Yeah, it failed.
Yeah, that stuff I was talking about, that's like it mentioned in the second episode.
Mm-hmm.
I did have a few comments on it, though. Let's see. So, I can't help but notice that frequently, so Victoria, that brown-haired girl, her face keeps looking like it's melting. Like, just the way she's drawn, it looks like her face is melting sometimes.
I don't know if that's intentional or not.
Yeah, I also did notice that Tanya's voice is a bit, it's a little different than it was in Isekai Quartet, which I assume is just a matter of this being a much more serious show. So the voice is done in a more goofy way on Isekai Quartet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel weird because I told you all this stuff, and then you watch the first episode, and you're like, this doesn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, I was like, what in the world?
Yeah, I'm sorry. If I had known you would be watching it, I wouldn't have, like, gone through all that. Okay, so then we get to Overlord Episode 1, which does thankfully explain the setup of the show.
Yeah.
Which is that the guy is, like I said last week, he's in a big multiplayer game, except it's being shut down, and he just kind of feels sad about it because he did so many things with other people. But then when it's supposed to get shut down, it doesn't. Instead, everything appears to become completely alive.
Yeah. Yeah, like he decided he was going to like tick down the final seconds and stay in that world. And all of a sudden, he opens his eyes and is like, wait a minute, I didn't go back to normal. And then all the characters are acting the way he had set them up, and they're NPCs, but now they're like real, mm-hmm. I guess, you know?
Yeah.
And then he has them all guarding different floors. And the funniest part I thought was like this. Like, he was like, yeah, I had a pretty boring life, so I'm okay with this. I was like, I thought it was pretty funny just because it was, like, not for intentionally, but unintentionally, because it was like, this guy must have been such a loser that he gets stuck in a video game. And he's like, ah, who cares?
I think what's weird is, what was I even saying? Well, I do appreciate that because that was a complaint I had about ReZero, that we have learned nothing about Subaru's life before being brought to this alternate world. We don't know, as far as I can remember, anything other than, well, he had a smartphone. Okay, that's not really much. Like everyone
No, that's not a smartphone. That's a dumb phone.
Oh, you're right. You're right. It is a dumb phone. I referred to my flip phone as a dumb phone, I remember.
Sorry, just had to correct that.
Yeah, but the point is, he has a cell phone is the important thing. He had some groceries and a cell phone. So, okay, we don't know anything else. That's my problem. Even with Overlord, we find out, okay, he's really into this online game. He doesn't really have any friends outside of it or family, and he just kind of had a boring job. So I'm like, okay, that's a bunch of important stuff, and that's totally fine with me then.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I actually really enjoyed this first episode, aside maybe from the sexual type of undertones we got there.
Yeah. That part where he's like trying to test stuff out and he's going, well, this couldn't, my ability to touch her chest wouldn't work if this was like still a game, because that's kind of that wouldn't be something that would be in this game.
Mm-hmm.
There at least was sort of, I'll be fair, there was at least a plot reason for it, and it did not get as fan servicey as it could have.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the only thing is I noticed that this does kind of almost seem to be the sort of I know this is just the first episode, but from what I've heard of the series, this is kind of, in some ways, the sort of thing that Konosuba was making fun of. It's the one where, like, oh, I get brought to this alternate world, and I have all these superpowers, and life is great.
Yeah.
Whereas Konosuba was all about, oh, I got brought to this alternate world, and I don't have these great superpowers, and, you know.
Yeah.
It really is kind of the opposite. He gets all these people who presumably are pretty powerful, whereas the whole joke is that Kazuma doesn't, and he gets a bunch of people who are, like, kind of useless, even if they do manage to work to gather to accomplish some things.
Yeah.
Okay, so, it was a decent first episode. I actually did... I think I'm sure it's not going to be a thing of the series. I actually did really like the thing, the stuff at the beginning where he's like, wow, we had all these great times in this game, and now it's shutting down, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know,
that sort of thing. Like, I'm sure a lot of people, when, like, actual games get shut down, have those sort of feelings. Like, I knew a bunch of people were really into City of Heroes, and then that just got shut down.
Yeah, I've never really got into the online thing. So I can't say it's ever happened to me because I've never really played. Like, I don't know. I'm a person who just likes to play single player.
There's been some that I played a bunch. Well, the thing is, there's been the stuff that... there aren't any that I haven't shut down while I was playing them. There were ones where I kind of, like, played for a while, kind of lost interest and stopped, and then later on they just went off line. But not any while I was actually playing it. Because it's sort of unusual. I would... Because normally, you know, if... I would assume that's the case for a lot of people because... These things stay up because people play them. So if they're being shut down, that would be because people aren't playing them anymore, so there wouldn't be as many people to experience it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I just remember City of Heroes because I knew a bunch of people who were really into the game, and they were just kind of sad that it was just, like, getting taken off. There were, like, a bunch of efforts to try to convince them to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, yeah, that's all of them. Wow, we sure talked a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so I talked about a bunch of these, and then I guess we get...
Pop 3.
Yeah, that's what I was about to get to, but I was mumbling all weirdly. Okay, so first place for me would definitely be JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Second would be Isekai Quartet, because it was just fun.
Mm-hmm.
It actually did get me a bit interested in some of these... shows. Third would be it's a little bit of a trickier one. I think My Hero Academia, actually.
Okay, so mine are pretty different. First place I have to say actually was Overlord. That was like the one that got me most interested this week. Excel World was, again, very good, so I'm going to put that in second place, and then Isekai Quartet in third place.
Yeah, so we've got all that stuff. Yeah, not much else to say unless I had some thing that I... wrote that I wanted to mention. Can't really think of anything offhand, but let's see. Okay, so next week we're going to finish up Re Zero. We'll do the last two episodes. The problem is that because we're doubling up on that to finish it, and we've got all these other things we're doing, we are going to be skipping over Shangri-La for one week. We'll come back to it after that, but there's a lot of stuff to watch, not a lot of time to do it because we're going back to the regular time. So,
right.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah, I do know from now on, I'm going to make sure that I watch Tanya the Evil and Overlord before Isekai Quartet. Yeah. So I'm going to be like, okay, I have a little more context for this.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll, I guess that's it for now, unless you want to, I don't know, share more funny jokes from Isekai Quartet.
Well, I heard some news that there is going to be a you know how Naruto is Boruto?
Yeah.
Well, Inuyasha, I guess, is getting something similar. It's going to be called Yasahime, which means like demon princess. And it sounds really interesting, actually. So you might want to look into it, but I don't know how far away that is from production or whatever. I just heard that it's going to happen. So I at first didn't believe it, but apparently it is real.
Oh, this is a very, I'm looking it up. This is a very new announcement. I think it was announced yesterday.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited about that, and that's all I got.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's announced that it'll be come back sometime. It's some series that will take place 10 years after it says 10 years after the original series, but I'm not sure if it's saying it's 10 years after, you know, the sort of epilogue thing, or whether it's 10 years after, you know, like the, you know, before that final time skip thing.
Right, right.
Let's see. Yeah, I don't know how much the original, writer will be doing it. It says that she's doing main character design, but I don't know if she's, like, you know, writing it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, it will follow the journey of Towa and Setsuna, Sesshomaru's daughters, and Moroha, Inuyasha's daughter. So, oh, yeah, that must be 10 years after the epilogue, because I don't think he had any kids at that point.
Yeah, the question is, who did Sesshomaru?
That's what I was wondering.
That's the question everyone has. So,
that has not been revealed yet?
Nope.
Okay. My guess is it's either going to be some new character, or we'll never actually meet them. We'll just say, oh yeah, he met some girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. He met her when he was, I don't know, he was like playing online video games. Yeah, he does that. That's like a hobby of his. It just never came up in the story or any.
Even though he has only one arm.
Yeah, well, that's the challenge. That's his challenge. Well, or that maybe, that's why he plays the turn-based games like Hearthstone. He's actually a major Hearthstone streamer. He just doesn't get many views because, you know, no one else watches back in the feudal period.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time.